Hello, welcome to the Amateur Tarot Pod, welcome to the Amateur Tarot On Demand Digital Radio Show, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your burning questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
Oh, who's this we have here? We have a guest host, Seth Schroeder?
Schroeder.
Seth Schroeder, I've known you for a long time and not known which was your last name.
Now I do.
Where was I? Oh, I was introducing Seth. Seth, welcome to the studio.
Yeah.
Ben couldn't be bothered to make it because he is getting married right now. Or he is married, but he's, you know, celebrating that fact. And I guess he can't celebrate it with me, his best friend. So whatever. Yeah, I wish them the best. But I'm very happy to have Seth here.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to be here with you, Brian Dooley. And we're both just also very happy for Ben.
Yeah, very happy. Good job, Ben. Way to get married. Way to really support the show. I appreciate it. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
So that's us. That's me and Seth. And Seth is going to be here for 3 weeks because that's how long Ben is abandoning his post. And then Ben will be back, but maybe there won't be a space for him. Who knows?
I just feel caught in the middle.
Listen.
Okay.
Listen. You choose who you love the most. So, do you know what we do on this show, Seth?
I know that we look at tarot cards.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just from the name on the door, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, so we do tarot cards, and then there's a lot of different ways to do tarot cards.
Lots of different ways to do tarot cards. We will be doing a 3-card spread.
Yeah, what's your favorite spread first, before we get into it?
Me?
Yeah.
I like 7-card spreads.
Ooh, 7 cards. That is like 133% more than we do.
Right, yeah. Well, but it starts with a 3-card spread. So the great part about that is that it is like a foundational spread, looking at your past, present, and future.
Yeah, we do that, but our future is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You may not know this, but our future is 100% money back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only. So
yeah,
that's a big deal for us. We really stand behind our future predictions.
Great. Yeah. I usually tell people I can only look at potential outcomes of their future because I make no claims of seeing their future.
Well, on this show, for entertainment purposes only, mm-hmm. we guarantee it.
Great.
So get ready to be a charlatan, my friend.
I'm okay with that.
And then also every week we have a card of the week for those lols who didn't get their questions answered. And you can always send your question in to try to get it answered. We are very amenable to answering people's questions. Literally, it is what we do for the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, stay tuned for the card of the week in case you are not the lucky querent this week. Speaking of querents, do you think we should go ahead and get over to Querents Corner?
That sounds great. Let's hustle over there.
All right. Here we are in Querents Corner.
It's lovely here.
Yeah, it looks a lot like the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
But we call it Querents Corner.
Great.
And you can't hear it right now, but every time I say Querents Corner, there's a sound effect that goes in. So it's very annoying for me, the editor. It's very annoying for you, the listener. And now that you've heard it, it'll be annoying for you to just think about every time I say Querents Corner.
Mm-hmm. Good to know.
All right. So this week we are going to be using Seth's deck. And Seth, why don't you tell us a little bit about this deck of cards?
Yeah, this is the Wildwood Tarot deck, and it is the first deck I ever had, and it was a gift from Brian. So it's really awesome. It features a lot of illustrations of like nature scenes and kind of pagan mythology. It also is different than your typical tarot deck. The suits are different, though they represent roughly the same things, and some of the major arcana are different and reinterpreted in their archetypes.
Nice. And so what would you say about the art in this deck?
I would say that it's very colorful, and that it represents a cohesive story using the forest as a metaphor for life as a whole.
Awesome. And since you are in Ben's seat, I'm going to put you in Ben's position on a 1 to 5 star ratings, 5 being the best and 1 being not actually a tarot deck. What would you rate this deck?
Well, coming from the incredibly biased perspective of this being the deck with which I have learned tarot, I am going to give it 5 stars.
Nice. 5 stars. We don't get a lot of those because Ben hates tarot. It's amazing that he's stuck with the show this long. And the only reason I can talk about it is because he also doesn't listen to the show.
He'll never know.
He'll never know. He possibly doesn't even know that there's a guest host.
Well... Hi, Ben. I'm you now.
Yeah. Welcome to new Ben.
I don't like that at all.
Just using you as a complete pawn.
Yep. Yeah. I want to be my own person.
Yeah. You'll be your own person, new Ben. Don't worry.
Great.
All right. So this week's question comes from Caroline. Mm-hmm. And Caroline wrote in and said...
When do you think my house will get sold? It's been on the market for 30 days now.
Well, Caroline, this is the first real estate question we have ever had, yeah. And I hope that we can answer it effectively. You sent this question in probably about 3 weeks ago, and, well, about 6 weeks ago now, I think. I don't know how time works. It's a flat circle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, anyway, you sent the question in. We are going to, yep, I don't know why I'm restating this. Do you have any pre-advice? Anything you want to say about Caroline's house getting sold before we do the cards?
I am eager to try and figure out when her house will get sold.
All right, excellent. I failed to do any follow-up with Caroline, and so I don't know where she is, what the market is like in her area. So I guess we should decide now where she's from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, without going too in-depth, that she lives in a suburb.
Right. She's probably in an area that is a mix of urban experiences, but you wouldn't have to drive too far to get into nowhere.
Okay, so she's on like an outer suburb?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Caroline, for our purposes, you live in an outer suburb of what city?
Philadelphia.
Of Philadelphia. So that's a place I know nothing about, except that it's 99 miles from New York City. And I only know that because when I went to New York City one time, there was a restaurant called 99 Miles from Philadelphia that served Philly cheesesteaks.
Did you check the accuracy of that restaurant statement?
If it was 99 miles from Philadelphia?
Yes.
I did not test the veracity because my son at the time was throwing up in street trash cans and subway cars.
That sounds like a really fair reason to not double check a restaurant's puffery statement. But I think it just further illustrates the fact that, for us, Philadelphia is a blank slate with which we will project our own feelings and interpretations onto.
Yes. Though I do know that West Philadelphia is possibly a rougher part of town.
Mm.
And I know this because of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Did you check Will Smith's veracity of that claim?
Will Smith has never lied to me.
Okay, good. I don't want to challenge that.
Nope.
All right.
All right. Well, Caroline, let's go ahead and get to it.
Flip.
The first card is the Journey.
Yes.
And what we have on the Journey card is a deer skull. It's a 13. So it's death.
Yeah.
And so it's a deer skull, and there's a raven perched on it pulling... scraps of skin and meat off of it, and there's some ravens flying up in the sky in front of the moon. I do a good...
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a good example card for what I was talking about, where the archetypes of the major arcana for this deck are reinterpreted in that, you know, it's not called death, it's simply called the journey. I feel like it's taking a less judgmental approach to what death means.
And... even on this card, we see the death of this deer is leading to the continuation of this raven's life, because the raven is eating disgusting scraps of flesh from the skull.
Right.
Yeah. And so what this would say to me is that up to this point, it's been, well, a journey. I just watched Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Which is probably my least favorite Marvel movie.
It's a lot of people's.
But the people I was watching it with, one of them was like, they named him Vision. That's so stupid. And so if you've seen it, maybe you'll get that, or if you're familiar with the Marvel Comics character, the Vision. But anyway, the journey is what I was going to say is you've probably been on a journey up to this point, deciding to sell your home and then getting it prepared to go on the market and then hiring a realtor and then now just waiting to see what's going to happen. And then even after you get bids on the house in the future, it's going to be more of a journey. But up to this point, it's definitely a journey to get your home prepared to go on the market.
Yeah. And it probably feels like, you know, a lot of things are ending with that process of, I mean, obviously your life in that location with all of the good and bad that that comes with.
Yeah, you take the good and you take the bad. You take them both. And there you have the facts of life.
Yep. I'm familiar with that 80s theme music for sitcom.
You are already so far ahead of Ben in pop culture reference getting.
Oh, great. Great.
Let's go ahead and see what the current actions are.
Flip.
The wheel. And this is the wheel. The Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
And this has a loom. I think it's called a loom. By the edge of a lake or a pond. And someone's making a tunic, or as I like to call it, a t-shirt. That has a wheel on the front of it. And there's both the moon and the sun in the sky. And there are some cranes or storks standing on one leg in the background in the water.
Yeah. That's accurately what's going on.
So what do we got for this one?
Well, I mean, of course, the Wheel of Fortune, it represents these big shifts, or I think big transitions of... basically, what is on the top now could be on the bottom or vice versa in life. So it can represent, you know, a change in fortune, again, sort of good and bad. And I think that's what the card is trying to show, is that all these things are encompassed on the wheel. We have both the sun and moon, so both day and night, light and dark. But the important thing with that is to keep in mind that the wheel is always turning. So even if now you're at the bottom, like, you know, just keep playing the game.
Yeah, Drake started at the bottom.
Yeah. And now he is here. We have Drake in the studio. I don't know what you're expecting of me.
He just popped in and left again.
No, yeah, he said, hey.
Just a little peek under the kimono. Drake wasn't actually here, but neither of us can do a solid Canadian accent. So we opted out.
I have very little idea of what Drake sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know what Drake sounds like either. Let's move on, shall we?
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is a good show. Seth is never coming back. He is not happy.
I'm going to go get married and leave the show.
Everyone leaves me.
To get married.
Yeah. Well... let's see what's in Caroline's future.
Yes.
And remember, the question is, when is she going to sell her house? So we may have to, when we circle back around, we may have to find a temporal element to these as well.
I'm confident we will.
Excellent.
Flip.
The Woodward.
Yeah.
Number 11, the Woodward. I don't know which, is he the Hermit?
I think he stands for the Hierophant.
Maybe. No, the Hierophants, the Hierophants really early in the deck.
No, yeah, it's probably Hermit. So the Woodward within this deck refers to, or should we describe that artwork?
Oh, yeah. So this has a guy dressed in leather skins, very layered. He's got a bobcat sitting next to him, and he's holding a spear. He has a bobcat head on his head as like a helmet, and he's got a cup in his hand, probably has ale in it. I'd say probably ale or wine.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a big old beard and some braids like a dwarf. And yeah, he's just looking off into the distance, him and his bobcat.
Yeah. And I remember now where he stands.
Yes.
In the rest of the tarot. And that is for the strength.
Oh, he's strength. Mm-hmm. Okay. So strength and the chariot are switched in this one,
mm-hmm.
or depending on how you look at it. But strength is 6, correct? Or 9? 8? Strength is one of the cards.
Yep.
And the chariot is one of the cards. And sometimes those are switched, I believe.
Yeah.
We're really good at this. That's why we call it amateur tarot.
Yeah. And the wood word in this case, I guess, you know, even if you break down his name, Wood Ward, he is a ward of the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And within this deck, the woods are just a metaphor for life in general. All the struggles and trials and tribulation and beauty that we experience is all captured within this forest. And he kind of represents a mastery of this experience, where he's maybe not, you know, he's not like the ruler of the forest in any way, but he is an accomplished journeyman. So someone who is familiar with the twists and turns of the trails of the wood and is able to navigate them successfully and thrive rather than just survive them.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to pull it back around and make a story and see if we can find out when this house is going to sell?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
So we start, you know, of course, with the past, where we've got this journey represented, which is probably regarding all of the actions you had to take simply to get your house on market, which we kind of talked about a bit earlier, like probably getting a realtor or a realtor. And, you know, maybe making some changes to the house, maybe packing some things up, certainly cleaning it, and how this probably represents a, you know, a death or a transition from your life there, and how that can come with mourning and celebration of that change. And we move into the current actions of the wheel, which I think here is actually maybe describing just the process of selling a house. Where I've never done that, but from what I understand, it can be a very complicated, emotionally exhausting process. And you can kind of go through things where maybe it looks like you have good fortune and things are going to work out, and then all of a sudden they can collapse on you at the last minute, a buyer can back out, that sort of thing. So I think this is kind of showing how you keep maybe going through this process where your house is maybe getting close to being sold but isn't. And then we move forward to the future with the Woodward. And the Woodward actually does represent a specific chronological time period, which is August. So, because he stands between fire and water, so a transition out of summertime. And he also he's also associated with the full moon. So I'm wondering if that maybe gives us our key here where perhaps around that time you'll have completed this experience and learned a lot from it and how to navigate it in the future.
I am very excited for that reading. This is the first time we've ever given like a time period, and you have nailed it down to around the full moon in August.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what the cards are telling us.
So that is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's exciting for you. If you don't sell your house then, we'll get you back all your money in spiritual gold.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about that. But it sounds like look forward to August.
Yeah, yeah. It'll either represent when you're going to sell your house, or it will represent the fact that you have just learned a lot from this experience.
Wait, and that they're going to end up staying in that house forever?
I could have nothing to do with your house. I mean, the Woodward doesn't live in a home. He lives in the woods, so that could be interesting.
Well, we're going to gloss over that
anyway,
and just keep it to the full moon in August.
Yeah, that's probably going to be an important time for you no matter what.
So I'm excited to hear back from you in August from your new house. Oh, also, you should probably be looking at buying a new house or moving into a new place if you're selling this one, because you won't be able to live there anymore. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But, yeah, that's why I'm at from your new house.
Where your old house has been sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. What am I talking about? Listen, guys, it is early on a Sunday morning. You know that. And this is just the way it goes sometimes. But we're going to get through this together, right? All right, let's jump out of Querence Corner. That was a hard one. Mm-hmm. Let's jump out. And here we are, back in the show proper.
Oh, great.
And we want to thank Caroline for her question. And then we are going to do a little something we like to call the card of the week. The deck that we're going to be using this week is thematically similar to the
Wildwood.
The Wildwood Tarot that we just used. We are using the Hobbit Tarot. And I've never used this deck before. We've used the Lord of the Rings Tarot, which I think is by the same artist. I'll have the artists and publishers for sure listed on the website in case I'm wrong here, which I've been wrong before. I've been wrong before on this show. But yeah, I'm going to have you, describe the deck and, tell us what you think about it.
So yeah, I think, you know, I can immediately see some artistic similarities to the Wildwood Tarot. There's a lot of nature imagery, a lot of forest imagery. So lots of greens and blues in terms of a color scheme, probably less warm colors than say like the Wildwood Tarot, for example. So it's kind of a dark-looking deck filled with mystery, from what I can tell.
Yeah. Are there, like, little stories? On the Lord of the Rings, when there are little stories on the bottom of all the cards?
Oh, no, I think they're just labeled with illustrations. I don't think there's any other additional text.
Okay.
But we do see, like, a lot of... we see characters from The Hobbit, different dwarves, wizards, Bilbo himself... there are dragons, so that's likely Smaug. Yeah.
All right. So on a 1 to 5 star rating, 1 being the very worst deck you can possibly imagine, and 5 being like an ecstatic experience. What would you rate this deck?
I think I would give it probably like a 4.
4.
I really like the artwork in it. And I could definitely see some people, if you're like into The Hobbit, this would probably be a fun thing to read. It looks nothing like any of the movies, so it's way better in that regard.
All right, 4 stars. We got 4 stars and 5 stars. That's a 9-star week, folks.
Ooh.
That is a lot of stars.
Mm-hmm.
Ben almost never has 9-star weeks.
I love giving out stars.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're way better than old Ben.
That's cool. I still feel like, you know, I had a different name at the beginning, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, you're not old Ben, you're new Ben. Sorry. Oh, no. I was saying you were better than old Ben.
I mean, like, I had a birth name, I had a whole identity before this show, and I don't want to erase that.
Oh, we aren't going to erase anything. Don't worry about that.
Okay. I wonder if, is this like the first day of a new life for me? I wasn't expecting that when I woke up this morning.
We never are.
Oh. This has been Amateur Tarot, where we help you transition to the first day of the rest of your life.
Yep. And other motivational sayings.
Yeah. Embrace hardship. That's not... I don't know where that came from.
There we go. That's a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Life is suffering.
Yes. Be grateful for it.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you flip a card and then describe it. So... flip.
Okay, we've got the King of Wands, which is on this an illustration of a giant eagle flying through the air. It looks like it's about to land on a tree branch. There are a lot of mountains in the background as well.
And so The King of Wands from the Little White Book with the Hobbit Tarot book says, "The Lord of Eagles had good eyes and could see a rabbit on the ground below, even in the moonlight. It was he who carried Gandalf to safety when the goblins set fire to the trees. Gandalf had once healed him of an arrow wound. He brings with him many other great birds who rescue the companions too. The Lord of Eagles later became the king of all birds and wore a golden crown, and his 15 chieftains wore golden collars. He reappears in the Battle of Five Armies and helps the companions against the goblin warg attack." Well, that was a lot of lore.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't ever read The Hobbit, that was like, I don't know, a quarter of the length of the book. So enjoy. There's lots of talk of birds.
Yeah.
The divinatory meeting, though, is a man of leadership and charisma, a role model who exudes confidence. In a spread, it reveals that you have mastered all your lessons so far and can now occupy center stage. Now is the time to take a chance and move forward with confidence. The omens are good under this influence. All right, so what do you think this means for our listeners this week?
I feel like this means that they should be confident in their expertise, that try and know what you're good at, and then own that fact about yourself.
Okay, like lean into your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I like it. That kind of reminds me of the way that I interpret the magician card sometimes.
Yeah.
You have all the tools necessary, so right. Just do it.
Right, right. I think what's maybe also interesting with this card being attached to the Hobbit is that with the lore that you were kind of reading is to maybe also practice some humility, where even this guy who's the king of all birds, which is, I can't even wrap my head around what that would mean. He got help from somebody else where Gandalf healed him of an arrow wound. So, you know, lean into your strengths, but that doesn't mean you won't need to ask for help sometimes.
Yeah, when you're leaning into your strengths, you also have to be aware of where your strengths aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so by leaning into the things you're good at, it's going to amplify those things you aren't good at, and you're going to know that you need other people to fill in the gaps there.
Right.
And that's where being a king comes in handy, because you're able to delegate those tasks.
Right. Right.
Well, cool. That's a great card of the week. Yeah. Good job, gang. And that takes us to the end of the show. We did it. How did that feel, Seth?
That felt pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like I talked too much?
No. Did you feel
Do you feel like I interrupted you too much?
Well, just then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think we're fine. We're good.
Are we?
Yeah, it's not. I'm not, like, holding it a grudge.
All right, because I need you for more weeks.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can talk after.
And then
we can take that off.
Possibly you're going to be new Ben forever.
Yeah, I mean, you keep saying that, and I feel like cringing at the idea of taking on an identity based off of someone's ghost.
What about this?
Okay.
What if we start calling Ben Old Seth?
Hmm. Okay, and then I'm new Ben?
No, you'll be Seth.
Oh, great.
And Ben will be Old Seth.
Okay, all right.
Like, he used to be the Seth of the show, but now you're the Seth of the show.
Now I am. I see. All right. Yeah, I think that recontextualizes my replacement status in a way that makes me sound better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is all that matters.
Yep.
Is sound quality. And then what does that mean as far as you were talking about the ghost of someone else?
Mm-hmm.
What does that make him then?
I guess dead?
Well, he would be what? A pre-ghost.
Oh,
because when you were new Ben,
yes,
then that means the old Ben is gone and you're his ghost.
Okay.
But he's...
He's a pre-ghost.
He's a pre-ghost, so he's alive and well.
He's alive and well, and destined to die like all of us.
Yeah, take that. Thank you, Caroline, for writing in. We hope that helps, and I would love an update in August around the full moon when you've sold the house and you're willing to cash in all your spiritual gold.
Yeah.
I want to say thank you to all of our lols out there. And I guess have a moment of silence for the lost laws. That's long enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, you can write to us. You can get us a question at amateurtarot.com. You can email us at amateurtarotreading@gmail.com. You can call us at 314-325-6047. And if you call within 10 minutes of us recording this, you will receive...
A plastic cup from the Harpo's Bar in Chesterfield.
There you go. So get those calls in.
Yep.
Got 9 more minutes. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Tarot Amateur. You can get in touch with us on Instagram at Amateur Tarot. You can get in touch with Seth on
Instagram at Seth Schroeder Photo.
Right on. Mm-hmm. You have anything else to pimp right now?
Yeah, no, I'm just chilling. No future projects. So All right. Look for me nowhere.
That's not true. What? You're going to be reading with us at Tower Grove Pride.
Oh, that's right.
This week.
Yeah, come find me there. I'll probably be wearing something really ridiculous.
Excellent. Yeah, find the amateur tarot booth at Tower Grove Pride here in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And come get your cards read and come meet us.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll still have this Harpo's cup for a giveaway.
We'll see.
You can get in touch with Ben at Making All This Up on Twitter. You can get in touch with him on imakingallthisup.com, which is where he is a lot of the time. He writes about creativity and how he abandons his creative partners for marital partners. Mm. And that's fine. I'm not bitter about it. Old Seth can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
As long as new Seth is here. New Seth, can you please build a mind palace for our loyal listeners and let them know how they're going to remember to rate and review us on iTunes?
Yes. So let this mind palace be as beautiful as what you'd imagine a palace would be if you owned it. So whatever your personal heart desires in a building that you owned, let it be that. And then, you know, with that in mind, when you check your email, let this palace spring forward and open the doors, and there will be someone there to remind you to please rate and review us on iTunes.
Excellent. And if you do review us on iTunes, maybe you'll get featured on the show. Mm-hmm. Like this week's featured review, Te Typo King, which is the typo king, but spelled wrong. It's clever.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And Te Typo King says, change my perspective, 5 stars. This podcast changed my perspective on tarot from hokey superstition to useful cognitive tool. The hosts are thoughtful and entertaining. Would recommend. That was very nice. Thank you so much, Te Typo King. And if you wanted to interact with us more, we have a Facebook page where we post a lot of things. And then we also have a Facebook group, which is new. And that's where I talk directly to you guys. I'm fairly active on there. I ask questions. Right now I'm having a little bit of trouble posting on Facebook when it's not from my phone, but I'll get that resolved. What's important is that if you're interested, go ahead and ask to join the group and I will approve you. And then you'll be a part of a small cadre of people who just care about the show or care about tarot and want to chat. We've got a live show coming up here in several weeks at the Monocle in St. Louis. It's on July 12th, and it's at 7:30. There's an event on Facebook, and you can buy your tickets at Eventbrite. So I hope to see you at the Monocle on July 12th. Thank you again, Caroline. Thank you, Seth, so much for sitting in.
Of course.
And thank you, Lols, for listening.
And thank you to Starbucks for having off-brand Girl Scout cookies that I thought were too funny not to take a photo of and share with my partners.
Excellent. That has been Amateur Tarot On Demand Radio Show.
Bye.
Do you say realtor or realtor?
I say realtor.
Or realtor, I guess.
Huh. You don't put another vowel there.
Yeah, I have heard it all the ways, but it never became something I really cared about until I saw it in a TV show recently.
Oh, okay.
I'm probably going to cut that whole part out because I forgot it was in a TV show.
Oh, gotcha.